Chairman Brad Holton, I'm bringing the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 10:30 agenda item, and it is for DSD general business. So DSD staff is here, so I'll hand it over to them.
Thank you, Chairman Holton, Commissioners. We don't have any major updates as a department. What we thought would be best for you today is to hear from our staff, Dan Lister, Planning Supervisor, and Michelle Barron, who is the leader of the AOI efforts. After hearing yesterday's testimony and staff reports and such, I thought it'd be good to take a step back and kind of talk through the options you have from this team with regard to AOI, and just if there's any big umbrella questions that maybe we could answer those for you, so that moving forward, that can be a good process as well. So I would hand it over maybe to you to start that discussion.
So what was your impression? It was my intent to attempt to keep discussion towards the boundary itself and how their concern would mitigate that boundary that was proposed. How did I do on that? Overall, or specifically, anything I might need to consider?
I think that it would, overall, it went fairly well as far as keeping on topic. I mean, there were some people that strayed, but you pretty much shut that down. So that was good. There's still a lot of misinformation, and so it's hard for people to rein that in, I think. So just have to guide them.
Okay. All right.
The one thing I did want to, reason I wanted to come today too, is to discuss the options afterwards. And so we had that on the screen. I brought Michelle with me so she can go into the finer details. I'm just going to hit the high levels. But we understand that the hearings that are happening are really just to vet out the public testimony before you make a decision. Then we'll reconvene at a different date to discuss that. And I just wanted to throw out there, your options allow you to either take the city's maps that they're presenting and accept those. You can modify those. So if you hear testimony and you see that it needs to be shifted or shortened or enlarged, you can say that and add that as part of your deliberation. And then prior to the ordinance being signed and things like that, we'll have those maps updated for you. Or you can choose to go back to jurisdictional line and they can come back later to fix that. We were looking at state law, and if it goes back to jurisdictional line, that is their boundary. And at that point, they still can annex outside of that. They still have a comp plan that they use. We can't stop them from doing that. The whole point of this boundary, though, is to establish how we want to talk to each other within that boundary, what the city's plans are, what our plans are, and how we want to discuss that. So that comes up to the next option. So you have those options. It seems like you're clear of what those options are, but I want to go back to Chapter 9 now. So Chapter 9 is our current area of city impact agreements. And so one of the options you have is to repeal those at the end and just keep it for the maps themselves, just to say that we adopted these maps, or keep them for now until we can until we can come up with a new agreement. And the reason why that might be a valuable option, without an agreement, the boundaries mean nothing. It just goes back to state law. So state law says if it's a rezone, comprehensive plan, or a subdivision, they get notice. Outside of that, they get no notices, even if it's in the boundary. So the boundary without an agreement is just a boundary. And so the thing is, your options on top of what map you choose to keep is also, do you want to keep the agreements for now and just update the map on there? Or get rid of them and we'll come back later with some type of agreement. But without that, then there wouldn't be an agreement and it would just be county rules at that point, and they may get a comment. So today is really just to make sure you understand your options. And if you have any questions about those options, we're here to answer those.
Chairman?
Yes.
I do have a question because it came up yesterday and Dan touched on it again. When you're talking about annexing outside of a boundary line, I think what was misunderstood by someone yesterday is that a city still cannot annex a parcel that is not contiguous, correct?
Correct. And so the difference is in our new code says they can't annex outside of the area city impact if the boundaries are not established. But once they they're established, whether it's a big boundary or jurisdictional line, they can annex all they want as long as it's in their comp plan and it's contiguous.
Yeah, it goes back to state statute 5222. So that talks about cities annexation.
So wait. Okay.
Technicality, do I have an incorrect impression that I get as a city, I get an annexation request? It can also have within the request and application, depends on the city, a comp plan amendment. And you would do it, you would approve them technically, comp plan amendment, the annexation, and then what zoning they're coming in under, all in one public hearing, but you would have three separate motions.
Yes, so all it says in 5222 is that as long as the comp plan shows it, you can annex within your comp plan area, as long as it's contiguous to your city jurisdiction. So if it's not, and your motion starts with
comp plan amendment,
then annexation. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've met that criteria.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know that most of the public understands that, but technically you could do that. Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I think what Dan mentioned would probably be good for him to lead off, and I don't know if that is what your intent was in expressing what our options are, but kind of laying the groundwork of like the whole point of this and how the city and the county will communicate. I think that would be good before testimony is even given.
Okay. All right. I like that. That would be, if you're amenable to do that, we can do that.
Yeah. I mean, either me and Michelle or myself, we're capable of doing that for you.
Okay.
And Chairman, maybe as always, I'm guilty of over helping. So my goal in this is to help people that are here, because this is complicated and it's a process that's never been done before by this board or any.
It's definitely different.
It's definitely different. But I've lost my train of thought. It looked like you had something you wanted to say, Chairman.
So let's talk about quickly the differences. So we already know before this was a way for the city to get the county to agree on something. Now it's the county's power. We may work with the cities if we want to. It's up to us to agree that's the boundary. And whatever it just says we can have an agreement. It doesn't say we shall have an agreement. And the big change to the language, too, is before it says reasonably can be annexed into the city within a certain time frame. Now it says very likely to be annexed within 5 years. So there's some huge changes in the sense of what's reasonable likeliness versus very likely to be done in 5 years. So, and that was some of the concerns yesterday, I guess, with the smaller cities that I overheard, was you have bigger cities that have more data that are going to be able to support some of the stuff they're saying, where you have some of the cities that don't have the data, don't have the means to do that, and their plan their comp plan is as good as data they're going to have, and they won't get that data until you give them a chance to see if they can get people to annex and pay for some of those services. And so that plan may be the data they have. And the question is to you, is that good enough for now? And if it is, that's great. The reason why, let's say they shrink it, and they say, we believe that's good enough for now. You could say, okay, that sounds good. But in 5 years, let's say it doesn't change, you get to shrink it again. You know, like it's a conversational point. That's why it's set up the way it is. They get to prove it up after. And so in this point right now, is it enough for you to go, let's see what you can do with that, you know, versus you didn't provide enough, let's kill it off. So it does give you some time to work on it. And we even have a planning section in there saying you'll come back to us and you're going to have to prove it up. If you don't, we'll change it. You know, and it gives you, honestly, it gives you all the power. I think the state law says as long as it's adequately noticed, it's very hard for them to do any judicial review of that.
Right.
You know, it really gives the power to the commissioners about what the boundary is and what agreement we're willing to have as a county.
Yeah. Chairman, I got back on track. I'm trying to, that was my statement, trying to help the audience understand there's a lot of misinformation, and there was an allusion to the fact that there had not been an attempt on the part of our development services department to educate and help them understand. And And that simply isn't true. I wanted to give Michelle a chance to speak to that, because I think it's out of respect for the work that's gone into it. We have heard comments from our assistant director to that effect. So what kind of an attempt? I know it's out there, but are people getting it even with the communication that's going out from development services?
So, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek. So, yeah, we did a lot of, you know, there were a lot of people that got mailings and didn't understand. Most of those were people coming out of the area of impact, because many of them shrunk so significantly that we did talk to a lot of people. Like, on the phone, I talked to a lot of people, and luckily, some of those people had had conversations at church or had had conversations with their neighbors, and once they got the information, then they went back and shared that. So it's a hard concept for people, because I'm like, well, you're coming out of the area of impact. But then I would explain what the area of impact was. And again, it's the city's planning tool. It's where they expect their growth so that they could put their efforts towards that area. Most of these smaller cities have no idea until a potential developer comes in, and then they require them to, you know, have their fair share of building that infrastructure. So they're kind of, most of them, I will tell you that I worked with a mayor in one jurisdiction exclusively. I worked with a clerk slash treasurer in another jurisdiction. And, you know, and then I've got some bigger cities too. So that has a full team. And we knew going in that it was going to be like that. So I just wanted to touch on what Dan said. I know, Commissioner Van Beek, you really like the data, the facts and everything. These smaller jurisdictions are just not going to have the data that the larger jurisdictions have, because they don't have the funding for it. They don't have, you know, unless they have to come up with, you know, a sewer treatment plan because they've hit their max, they've got to come up with a new plan to expand or to fix a problem. Then they get some numbers involved. But otherwise, you're just not going to see that. You're going to see what they expect, or just conversations they've had with people where they expect to be able to annex in. So, but yeah, but the general public, it's really hard to, I mean, if you think about, I mean, we're a big county, and there's a lot of people that are experiencing some change, and there's going to be misinformation. So I would gladly address it ahead of time and explain what an area of impact is. And we can just kind of start from there, and hopefully there's an understanding with the group of people that come in.
And through the chair, let's just put the time frames in perspective here. So the team was put together in April. We did some outreach in May, have been answering phone calls and things of that matter. And the only reason we have a time frame like this is because the December date that the area of city impact expires. And so if we didn't have that, we'd have way more opportunity to do more outreach with the public and things of that matter. We just didn't have that time. It kind of is what it is. And her team, even me and some other people, we've been answering calls like no tomorrow, trying to address their concerns about annexation or city plans that we don't have adopted, so we have no say-so in it, you know, and trying to educate. But in hindsight, if we had more time, I would have loved to create a separate website for it and educate and do a public outreach and things of that matter, so we could have educated ahead of time. I think we did what we could with the time frame we had.
Thank you.
I have a concern that during a public hearing process that we're hearing from the audience individually is not necessarily the best time to educate. You could have a very hostile witness who has their own sense of reality, whether that is truth or misunderstood. They're going to fight tooth and toenail for their point of view, mm-hmm. and we're not going to, the audience is going to end up getting lost in the minutia. So I guess I would personally say, I'm not against educating the public. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is likely not your best forum to make much headway.
Yeah, and thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the feedback. We're just trying to run a process that meets a broad spectrum of understanding and interests and you have special interest groups in here. So maybe that was too ambitious on my part.
It's a lesson learned from us too, at DSD. So when they come back later to establish, hopefully we'll have an application process and what the process will look like to get it before the board. And there won't be a time frame, you know, loop to it at that point. So, but this is a mandate by that state law. We're just trying to help out with that. And this is what it is for now. The good thing, I think, that was done, I think, by Aaron, is those boards saying what we consider and what we can't consider. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a great educational tool right there. They can look at it as they come in. I've been doing this for how long, planning and things like that. You're always going to have the ones that don't care what that says, and they're going to say what their 3 minutes believe, what they believe it is. And it's up to you just to let them have their 3 minutes and thank you. Or if it really is something you can't use, you're like, did you see the board? We can't use that. You want to try something else? No? Okay. You know, but at the end, it is their 3 minutes. Have at it and then move on kind of thing. I think, the time frame we have and what we have done, the education we're providing now is probably as good as it's going to get. And those boards help quite a bit. So yeah. Appreciative of that being out there.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you, Aaron.
What else?
So, again, later as we get to those other hearings, we can discuss the options again. But I just want to throw that in your mind, what you can and can't do. Mostly, you have a lot in your power with the state law. So you can amend as much as you want after hearing all the testimony. So it's in your power to do so. You can, at the end, if you feel it's necessary, we can print out an aerial for you. And you can even make your own lines if you want to. After hearing testimony, of course, it's up to you. We can do that for you.
And so, Chairman, that's one thing I think there was confusion about, that it's not limited to just what borders the area of impact or that space between the city limit and the area. You could go in or out or... Okay.
Chairman, Commissioners, I think the reason Dan mentions marking up aerials is... it makes the motions cleaner because you've got an overhead up there, I believe. You could show it and say, yeah, we all agree to that new line. Because if you're like, we're going to jog in at parcel number, blah, 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 and then we're going to jog back west, and you start doing something that sounds like a legal description, there's a lot to get lost in translation. So mm-hmm. I think that's why we mentioned that there.
Right. And even if you do that and you have a conceptual of where you want to go in, we'll tighten that up with the cities before the ordinance comes in, before you design. And so it will be whatever it'll be more exact at that point, but we'll consider the parcels that are existing.
Okay.
Logistically for today, I was reintroduced to the concept that Star and Middleton.
Star and Nampa.
Thank you. Should be held on the same day. I don't see that it's possible to perhaps be able to get that done in a 3.5 hour block of time.
Ideas? So Homedale's going to be the super simple, I think, pretty fast. It's the other three, and I have a feeling, based on what we're understanding the crowd to be for Middleton, that might take up a lot of the time right there. So those two might need to be pushed out to another day. It'll be up to see how fast. But some of those people coming for Star are going to be the same ones for Middleton, yeah, too. So same clients, I think.
So for the fairness of the public, I'm going to throw in a question. Would it be perhaps the best use of everyone's time if we were to go into today's hearing and just state that we're going to look at Homedale and Middleton, and we are concerned that since Star and Nampa, which ones are supposed to be heard together in my brain?
Star and Nampa.
And since Star and Nampa should be heard on the same day, we're giving them notice that we aren't even going to end up being able to consider them, which means we're going to have some kind of locked and loaded certain date forward to make a motion for? Or is that, let's discuss that proposal or that theory.
I think that's excellent in the sense that I think you also just have to state we're at a hard stop time.
Right.
5 or whatever.
We are at 5.
Or 5:30, whatever, and then just say we can't go back beyond that. We'll see how this goes. More than likely, Star and Nampa will be tabled to another day, and just let them know. So if and just be pretty sure that's what we're going to do, or just state it and just say here's a date for that. We're anticipating this is going to take longer, so we're just going to move it to those dates now, so people can leave if they're not part of that.
Right, and so for the armchair quarterbacks that are listening to this verbal record, I am talking about what I assume is going to happen this afternoon, so I don't know. But with the information I have available, I think we're going to have a significant turnout from Middleton. I could be wrong, but I think that it's fair. I would be frustrated as a city to have my people sit there the whole day and there's not a chance that we're getting to them. So to me, I think it would be fair to let perhaps Star and Nampa know sooner than later that
we're just going to push it out.
We're just not going to get to them.
Okay.
All right.
So what we can do is before the hearing, just have a date set.
Yeah.
And work with staff and get that date and then have it ready and then.
Because you're going to have to wiggle it around everything else.
Yeah.
Greg?
And Mr. Chair, on the look at the calendar, it looks like November 5th is a holdover for impact ordinances and nothing's been continued at that date yet.
So what if we started at 10 and broke for lunch and then picked it up for the rest of the afternoon? To do Star and Middleton, or Star and Nampa, good gosh.
And so the one thing we were going to have to check in is if we need the public hearing room versus this room.
I would say we do.
If it's available. So let us look into that and come back to you.
Okay.
And we'll work on the dates.
Okay, all right. So we're, Board, are we in agreement? We're requesting from staff to research the dates possible to do a continuance for Star and Nampa, and they will gather this information and be available to counsel us at the hearing this afternoon. Is that okay?
Yes. Yep.
We agree. All right. Let's.
We'll contact Star Nampa and let them know that there's going to be that change, so they don't attend.
They won't even have to show up. All right. Okay. That will be good. We will make we'll make those decisions then later today. And your research and information is going to be most valuable. So thank you. All right. What else? Gee, this has been fun. Is there anything that you would ask that I would change or amend in my verbal communication to the group before we start the official meeting?
No, it's good information.
I think it is. I mean, if I was on the other side of the dais, I would appreciate it. So,
yeah. Geraldton, I think how you outlined it from the start of the meeting, it made sense in the structure and the criteria. Going back to Dan's point, I think it would be important that staff speaks on what's expected out of this and why we're going through all this and the options you all have as a board.
Okay.
And then putting in the forefront, like you said initially, about the two cities not being able to be on the agenda today, just so people aren't wasting their time. But
okay. All right. So I'll add the two cities to the, let me think. No, I won't do that. Legally, I can't make a I don't want to start a deliberation before I open the hearing, so.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to wait and do that in sequence. So, all right.
We're okay to tell those city reps it's not happening. To
you're okay. You're okay. I'm not okay to pre-deliberate.
But once we start the hearing, you can start with those two items, saying we're moving those and table it then and then start working on the other two. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. All right, that's good. that will be very helpful to the public. All right.
So unless the board has any other DSD questions, I think.
Why is my application taking so long? All right. Sounds good. I'd make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves adjourned. Thank you.